also have to accept or move it along with the department's changes. So you do these both together as one, and then it would be incorporated with each other out to public hearing.
Yeah, that would be almost the easiest thing to do, is if you've got amendments that you know specifically that you would want to adopt along with what's already in the current set of language in front of you, is to accept it all at once and move it all forward.
But our acceptance, or the commission's acceptance of any language, whether the yellow highlighted or the, let's call it the Oaklawn language, doesn't necessarily mean that that's final approval by the commission of that language.
No, because it's going to go out, again, it's going to go out for another public hearing. It would be included into the current document, which the entire document would be going back out for a second public hearing.
And then this is Fallahy again, turning then to the, I'll call it the Oaklawn language. We could do the same with that as we could do with the yellow highlighted language as well, right?
This is Brenda, that is correct.
Is another option that we could have a separate motion that would reject the Oaklawn language, and then that would end it at that point?
This is Brenda. You could do that, but I'm not sure that that's necessary. I think that what you have to have, though, is the pieces that you do want to move forward. You
right,
have
right,
to have a motion
right.
on that.
Right, that's right.
But if you, I mean, if you want to do a rejection motion on something,
right.
you can do that, but I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Landstrom, just a clarification for me. So no matter what, we need to go to another public hearing.
This is Brenda. If you accept the department's proposed amendments, we have already been advised by Mr. Pochin that some of those changes would be deemed substantive. So, yes, it would have to go out to a second public hearing.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Landstrom, that was my point. When normally the department, and I've talked to them two or three times about that, they're nodding their heads yes, because I called them and said, couldn't we have learned about this in December? To save the extra time that Mr. McCafferty talked about, because we don't like to delay things any longer than we have to either, because of the shortness of time between finishing of SAC and December meeting, the department didn't have the time to do the analysis that you're seeing here, because what we're trying to do is not just Brenda's team, but Talika's team as well, to say, how's this going to work? And that's why I think you heard some good questions of Jane. How does this work? What's the intent of the drafter, if you will? So that this wasn't time to do that, but trust me, the message was delivered to move it along as fast as possible. But yes, because of the memo that we received that describes it, it'll have to go out for public hearing again. Okay. Other questions, comments? Commissioner Sandler.
Since there's been so much discussion from Keith Crowell about the Oaklawn language and back and forth, I think the commission should accept or reject it. And the reason and the way I would do that is simply to make a motion to accept it and then discuss it and then accept it or reject it. For lack of a better term, put it to rest. That the motions that the commission add to the language, what has been passed out to us, I'll simply read it. Hospitals located in a county with a population of less than 200,000 and no other hospital with at least 100 beds located within 10 miles be added to the language as an exemption. And then we can discuss that and decide what to do with it.
And I take it that's a form of a motion?
Yes,
commission.
It is.
Okay. Is there support for that motion? Okay. No. Commissioner Klatt, do you have a question? Or so far, I'm looking to see if there's support for Commissioner Sandler's motion to, I'll paraphrase it, Commissioner Sandler, accept the Oaklawn language for purposes of sending it out
yes,
to public
correct.
Hearing.
And then we would discuss it.
Commissioner Landstrom, I'll second it for the purpose of moving it.
All right. So, okay, the motion has been supported. Discussion amongst the commissioners. And let me ask a question of Mr. Pochin or of Brenda Rogers. If we approve the motion, I'm trying to figure out what our options are here, okay? If we approve the motion, That all that means is it gets included with everything else to go out to public comment. Is that correct or not?
First, it appears that it's appropriate to first vote on the department's proposed standards and then vote on the two other amendments that you're choosing from versus jumping straight to the Oakland.
Right. I mean,
just because the process, Brenda needs to know what needs to go to public hearing. So.
All right. Okay.
And this is Commissioner Klein. Thank you, Joe, because I think Commissioner Lansman and I were looking at each other. Dr. Sandler, we wanted to support you. It just in an order of things, it just wasn't.
I appreciate that. That's an excellent suggestion.
Right.
Why don't we? I withdraw my motion temporarily.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
That's an order of
having said, taking care of that for the moment, is there another motion anyone would like to introduce?
I can do it. Commissioner Cowling moves to support the department's language.
That and
Commissioner
Cowling, Commissioner Sandler, great. And that would be the language that we've received in our packet, not including what we've called the yellow highlighted or the Oaklawn language.
Right.
Great. Okay, so that motion's on the floor. Any questions? Okay, all in favor of that motion, raise your hand. That motion carries.
Well, you want to make a motion about the yellow highlight first?
Sure.
That's simpler.
Either way.
That we move the language given to us in yellow highlight and add that to, we approve that and send that to public comment as well. This would be something new, so it would have to go to public comment then come back in June.
Commissioner Klatt, second.
For those in the audience, having sat in the audience before and wondering what the heck are they talking about, all right, the yellow highlighted language has four sections, and it pretty much tracks what Jane was saying earlier, where in section, I'm not going to go into lines and all that, but where the source hospital was subject to section 8.3b, the receiving hospital shall have an average occupancy rate of 40% or above. That's the general thrust of all of these. The second word, the source hospital was subject, the addition of the proposed new beds at the receiving hospital shall not exceed the number determined by the calculation. Next, where the source hospital was subject to 8.3b, the receiving hospital's average adjusted occupancy rate must not be less than 40% after the addition of the proposed new hospital beds. And the last one is what Jane talked about the completion of the relocations. So if a source hospital does not have an average adjusted occupancy rate of 40% or above, the source hospital shall reduce the appropriate number of licensed beds to achieve an occupancy rate of 60% or above upon completion of the relocations. So that'll give you some sense. Obviously, you'll be trying to find the specific language. But those are the four yellow highlighted, quote-unquote, sections we're talking about here. So we have a motion on the floor and support. Any questions or discussion? Okay. All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. Motion carries.
Yes. I wish to make the motion that the commission send to public hearing, which would not be a final action, it would be a preliminary action, the language, hospitals located in a county with a population of less than 200,000 and no other hospital within at least 100 beds located within 10 miles. This has been distributed to the group. And the motion would be to simply take that to a public hearing and to add that on to what is already going to a public hearing. Therefore, this would not delay the total package. And this would only be to public hearing for further input, obviously. Okay.
And Commissioner Landstrom, I'll second.
One moment, the lawyer's here.
No, they're talking.
I hear you. I'm having a side discussion with my attorney here. I hear the support. Let me have Mr. Pochin explain what he's trying to tell me so we can all hear it.
The potential predicament that you're facing is that if you put this language up for public comment and move for final action at the later commission hearing, and then you decide to delete it then, you could be making another substantive change, which would delay it even further. So my recommendation to you is to make a decision now whether you want to include it or not.
Okay, but it still would have to go to public hearing, right?
This will go to public hearing, and then at a later point, there could be an argument made that if you decide to remove it, then it's a substantive change, and then...
You mean deletion can...
I'm trying to avoid that situation. Is
deletion actually a substantial change? I thought only addition was substantial change. Help me here.
I would argue, well, there's an argument that could be made that deletion is a substantive change as well. I'm trying to, again, get these through as soon as possible. Okay. So my
in other words, that would be an example of addition by subtraction.
Yeah. So make a decision is today what you want to do with these standards, so it goes to public comment and it comes back for final action at the next one versus just...
Ms. Commissioner Klatt, question for Mr. Pochin. So are you suggesting that we modify the motion or just that we be mindful of the meaning of our vote?
Yes.
Yes to the latter.
I would ask you to be mindful of your vote.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Commissioner McCurdy, my understanding is that the first thing we voted on was the department's language, and that was modified by the changes that were proposed by the vice chair of the SAC. And then the third step is that if we vote on this, and this language is in any way discordant to the language that we've already voted on, which language has precedence? Because once it gets to public hearing, what are we hearing about when you have discordant language?
This is discordant. It's not different. These are two different areas, but it's a good question.
I'll try and answer that. I'm not sure if the proposed, what I still call the Oaklawn language, is discordant from what we have in here. Now, the one question that Jane raised was, when you define hospitals as sole community hospitals designated by CMS pursuant to blah, 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 CFR, make sure that that's not indirectly carving hospitals out or adding hospitals into the SAC wanted in or out. But the language we've got here is in bold about hospitals located in a county with a population and so on. So I don't think it's discordant. I think it's adding to what's already in the language that we've already approved to go out for public comment.
I interpret this as simply one more exemption. It doesn't contradict anything previously. The commission simply has to decide whether this is an appropriate exemption or it's not an appropriate exemption.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Put it that way, and I'm fine with that.
Well, other discussion?
Discussion first. Forget about Wynn Schumann. Just look at this. The reasoning behind or the purpose behind the SAC recommendation, the thrust of it, and this was brought out at the last meeting, was in populous areas of the state. Particularly, frankly, the tri-county area of Macomb, Oakland, and Wayne, which is significantly overbedded. There's a consensus of that. And understandably, they want to do away with some of these overbeds. Now, there are other populous areas of the state. I'm not saying they're as overbedded as metropolitan Detroit, you know, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Lansing, you know the populous areas. But this was not aimed, this purpose was not aimed at small hospitals in less populous counties, such as Oaklawn is one example. There's a whole bunch of them. They're the only hospital in that area. And I really don't see a negative of allowing them to keep their 77 beds for those few days a year or those more than a few days a year. They could be at 100%. Yes, the solution could be they could de-bed. But why are you making them de-bed when they may need those beds? The emergency room is occasionally on diversion. And that's not what the aim of the SAC was. That was even, Dennis even mentioned that point, if I'm not quoting Dennis incorrectly. Well, But we can't get the audio tape out, so I apologize, and as the judge says, please ignore that remark. Okay. I think this is a reasonable suggestion because the thrust of what the SAC, the purpose of the SAC, would still remain intact, but you would not disadvantage small communities.
Other comments from the commission members? Commissioner Cowling, and then we'll go to Commissioner Glansman.
I guess this Commissioner Cowling, yes, I am concerned that we're trying to come up with a problem fixer for the Tri-Counties, and we're ending up creating a bigger problem potentially, although from what I've understood, probably not significantly. But just the ripple effect of this is huge in that even though Battle Creek is only 13 miles as the crow flies, in an ambulance with an asthmatic, if that's 25 minutes, that's a 25-minute hell ride. So if you are on diversion in Oaklawn and you can't take that patient because of the backup effect, because they're crowded and they have a lack of inpatient beds, which is the number one cause of ED overcrowding, you can see where this would actually have significant implications for a patient in terms of patient safety and bad outcomes. So I would argue that we should be very careful that we don't create something that could eventually down the line cause a problem for someone. Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Landstrom.
Just a comment. The SAC spent long hours working on this issue, and I understand that there was greater concern about the Tri-County area, but they spent long hours working this through and considering, you know, many, many details of this. So I have some hesitancy of amending what they worked on with such great detail.
Yeah, it's Commissioner McCurdy. Having Vice Chair SAC recently, I totally agree with your comments. There's a lot of discussions and deliberations go on, and many individuals have the opportunity to make their comments during anywhere from 6 month to a 9 month process, and there's clearly a lot of thoughtful analysis. My own feeling is sometimes I just have to follow the sniff test, which sometimes to me is, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying. I still can't reconcile why one or two beds for those hospitals on the cusp can't be done voluntarily, especially when you're averaging 39%. I heard the arguments are very thoughtful and well-articulated arguments. But if we do accept these recommendations, then we go from, I think we really cut the intent of this act, which was try to reduce the total number of hospital beds. My understanding of this language is that if you're underbedded, if you don't reach that 35%, the hospital doesn't close. It's still going to be a functioning hospital. There are going to be some repercussions. They want to get it up to a certain level. But to your point, that asthmatic is still going to be able to go to that closest hospital based on these recommendations. Is that incorrect?
See, the problem of it is that, and this is just speculative, but if you lose inpatient beds and you're potentially functioning at full capacity, what ends up happening is that the patients that are already presented to the emergency department that are admitted get held in the emergency department, and they don't ascend. So then the emergency department backs up and backs up, and eventually what ends up happening is that as a patient safety measure, they go on diversion to ambulance traffic.
Why would they get held in the emergency department? They still have the beds. They're just going to have less of them. That's my understanding. But so from my standpoint, if someone has intracranial hemorrhage, a subarachnoid hemorrhage, they're still going to come to an emergency department, and they're going to be able to get triaged to the appropriate center for the advanced care. They're not going to have to skip over a hospital and then go to one 12 miles away. That's the way I interpret the clinical effects of this.
But it depends on the initial presentation because the patients don't necessarily know which hospitals are full at the time. So if you have a patient, and I'll go back to the asthmatic, that needs emergent care and they live closest to Oak Lawn, they're going to want to go to Oak Lawn for obvious reasons. If they're on diversion, the paramedics are going to have to take that ambulance an extra 20, 25 minutes to the next closest facility, which I understand is Battle Creek.
Agree with that scenario. I think the issue is how many times is a hospital that's running at 39% capacity or 20% or 25% going to go on diversion? I mean, we at the University of Michigan, whatever beds we have, we still go on diversion, or we can't accept patients. So I don't think the likelihood of a hospital going on diversion is necessarily predicated or be affected by this language.
You're right, but at the same time, I guess my question is, why are we potentially penalizing Oak Lawn and having them voluntarily give up one or two beds when what we're really trying to do is regulate what's going on in southeastern Michigan?
My comments.
Not yet.
Okay. Here's what I would think is correct. I'm not certain I would think this is correct. Let's go beyond Oak Lawn to whoever. It might not be one or two beds. It might be two to five beds or more. It doesn't alter the fact that maybe all hospitals will have, or most hospitals have, diversion a few times a year. Let's say, I don't know how much, and either did Keith know how frequent this occurred at Oak Lawn. But with less beds, in theory, they would have more diversion. I think that's the point she's trying to make. If you have less beds, then you would have more days when the ED is full, that no place to put those patients. That would be the theoretical circumstance. And I would not be in favor of this if this were in the metropolitan Detroit area or another large population area. But that was not the purpose of the hospital bed sack to make a general statement. At least I don't think it was the purpose of it.
So, Commissioner McCurdy, I don't know of any analysis that's proven an increase in diversion rates because you would reduce the hospital bed number by 4% or 5%. The key health public policy issue that this tried to address was an overabundance of beds in a shrinking population, granted in the tri-state area, but that our population has shrunk essentially, I would say, in 90% of the counties. So I totally agree, as a practicing physician, as we all are, patient care is our primary objective. But if indeed we are overbed in the state, and if indeed there are hospitals that are below 40% occupancy for the year, theoretically it's a possibility of diversion. But I think from a practical standpoint, I don't think that's going to happen very often, if at all.